Okay, I'm going to ask Joy in a few moments to come up and do our reading for us today. Our reading is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 16.
Exodus 17, 1 to 18. And the heading is Water from the Rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. And I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord amongst us or not?" Then the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation."
Morning again. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that you choose to reveal yourself to us, Lord. I pray through this talk that you'll reveal something new to each person here. May it be a real truth nugget that they could take away this week and apply to their lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. What's in a name? What's in a name? Name is important to get to know someone. Get to know the person. So, I have some meanings of names here that I'd like to pick. Susan, you know what the meaning of your name is? Graceful Lily. Graceful Lily. Derek, hiding in the back. Gifted Ruler. Ruth, do you know what yours is?
Merciful.
It says Companion, Friend, Vision of Beauty. Matthew, Gift from God. Howard, Noble Watchman. And John, Jehovah has been gracious, has shown favour. There you are. Very impressive. Actually, on a side note, it made me chuckle this morning because we're talking about names. And on our way driving into the centre, I saw my old English teacher walking up Windsor Road. He had a name for me. It wasn't particularly nice. But I used to be a bit of a, not a tearaway, but causing mischief. Yeah. So in the English lesson, you know, one time we took a book and we put it at the top of the door when he was out. So he came back in. Fortunately, the door jammed and broke his glasses. Anyway, so my name after that was Imbecile Hud. So it brought me right back when I saw him. So that was funny. So Ruth, yeah. So I'm going to talk through in the Old Testament. There were many names for God. Okay. And then a name was not only an identification, but an identity as well. Names had meaning. Throughout Scripture, God reveals himself to us through his names. If we study these names more, we actually get to understand him more. God knows our names. Don't you think we should learn his? What do you call him? Do you call him God, Lord, maybe Father, or Papa? Have a think about that. So here are the names of God that we have. Now you'll be pleased to know I'm not going through all of these this morning. So the one I'm actually going to focus on is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And we'll focus on that one today. And then maybe in the future we'll go through the rest of them as a theme. Right, Susan? Okay, so next slide. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah, our banner. He is our victory. He lifts up a standard against our enemies. His banner over us is love. Jehovah, our banner. What's a banner? What do you associate with a banner? You may have seen banners in churches in the past, be hanging from walls in old churches. Here's a banner. Happy birthday. Okay, next slide. Here's some examples of some other banners. Now, I always have to get Liverpool in my sermon, I'm sorry. Exactly. Now, at Liverpool, they have a huge banner, and I think it's the biggest that I've seen, which is this one up here, which is, it's fantastic. And actually, last time I went to a match, I was under that as it came across, because it goes around the different stands. So for this banner to come over, maybe 500 people, was quite spectacular. And the feeling of being covered by the banner reminded me of God's love over me. And there's various other banners here. So why do we have banners at football? So I think some of it is to proclaim our achievements, right? And to celebrate, show others, you know, show love and appreciation for the club. And to be proud who we are. I'm proud as a Liverpool supporter. I get some flack, but I don't care. I'm proud. Are you like that as a Christian? Are you proud of your faith? Or do you hide when the conversations come up? Next slide, Ruth. Some other banners. Who remembers March for Jesus in the 80s? I know Rachel and I, we were at the Elim, I think, at the time then, and we joined March for Jesus, and they'd have banners saying who we marching for, and that was quite powerful. I struggled with that at the time, actually, because I found it quite embarrassing. But I've grown in my faith since then. But I think it was a good proclamation of, you know, we are following Jesus, and we demonstrate it. Okay. So we're going to go back to... Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's fine. That's the one I want. Yes. In the story that we heard Joy read, so beautifully read, okay, thank you. It spoke about a banner, and this is more in the context of what banner they meant, as a standard bearer. So a standard in an army is a signal or a sign displaying the colours of the army. The context of the battle. Be seen, and that the other people in the army know where to go. Whose side are you on? That's really the thing. A soldier, a standard bearer was a soldier who was responsible for carrying a distinctive flag to say whose side we were on. In a battle, opposing nations would fly their own flag on a pole at each of their respective front lines. This was to give the soldiers a feeling of hope and focal point. This is what God is to us, a banner of encouragement to give us hope and a focal point. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can stay. Right, it's now going to get a bit more interesting because I need some volunteers. I used to hate this stuff, but now I'm on the other side. So. I need a Moses. I need a Moses. I'm looking at Barry. Barry looks like a good Moses to me.
That's hard already.
Moses. Moses was a shepherd in his early days, and God called him by speaking through a burning bush. Remember that story? Yeah. Then he asked him, God saw his people in Egypt who were suffering, and he asked Moses to confront Pharaoh and bring them out. So in Exodus 3:11 it says, Moses was a bit apprehensive. It says, who am I to confront Pharaoh and lead Israel out? And God said, do not fear, I will be with you every step of the way and lead you. And then Moses said to God, who should I say you are? God says, I am sent to you. And then Moses was like, well, how are they going to believe me of what you're going to do? So Rachel, can you pass me that stick? As he was a shepherd, he had a staff. So he's not quite the same as a shepherd's staff. He had a staff. And God said, don't throw it down. Throw down the staff to the floor. And he threw it down onto the floor, and then it changed into a snake. Oh, looks a bit like a snake.
Yeah.
Then he said, when it was the snake on the floor, he said, then pick it up by the tail. Of course, Moses would be a bit apprehensive, but as soon as he picked it up from the tail, it became a stick again. So that was a good demonstration of God's. Yeah. The other thing, do you remember the other things he did? Yeah, that's right. He put his hand in his shirt and came out, and it was all diseased. And then he put it back in again and it was healed. Another demonstration. So, but Moses was not a good speaker. So he had to have someone else to help him. So I need an Aaron. So I need another man. So here's Aaron.
A good speaker.
Speak on Moses' behalf. So in context of this story, before this bit happened, there'd been the parting of the sea. There'd also been in the beginning of that story where the Israelites were all moaning, saying, when you're thirsty, we need something to drink.
We need to drink.
Yeah. And what did Moses do? Hit the rock, and then the water came. So many miracles performed. Do you think this staff is magical?
No.
No. Nothing magical about this. It was a sign from God that he wanted to demonstrate his power and presence through Moses. And actually, what was Moses' name, the meaning behind Moses' name? Does anyone know that? Means to pull out, to draw out. Interesting, considering what he did.
Pull it out. Yeah.
And he drew the rest of people out.
Yes.
Right. Very good. Yeah, so that's the background. Right, okay. So we have two guys. I need another three. So there's no hiding. Who wants to be the other? Gary's got to be one. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Two more, please.
Go on, John.
No, we can't. There's no hiding today. going to do is we're going to go through the story again, acting these fantastic actors. There's a prize for the Oscar winning performance. Yeah, free lunch. So what we have here is we have Moses, we have Aaron, we'll have her. Okay. And then these two guys at the end. Someone needs to be Joshua. First one put their hands up, gets it. Joshua! And we're having a Malachite warrior. Right. Okay, so scene one is Moses tells Joshua to take the men and fight the Amalekites. So, have a word with Joshua.
Yeah, he's
not
very good speaker.
No,
I like
him. Right, that was yours. Don't start just yet, just be ready.
Right, you ready?
Moses in the middle.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Right. You organise, yeah? Okay, so Israelites were camped at Rephidim, and it was time to meet face to face the Amalekites for a battle. So let's talk about the Amalekites for a minute. Amalekites were warlike people. Oh. They're actually quite nasty, these guys. What they did to the Israelites, they went round the back of the camp and they found all the frail and weak people and they killed them. There were many more Amalekites than there were Israelites. The Amalekites were at war with God. These guys stop you become closer to God. Do you know any people like that in your life? Yeah. Amalekites in your life? God wants to blot out the Amalekites from the face of the land.
Oh, there you go.
Right, Joshua. Joshua was an Israelite, and he was a descendant of Jacob. Actually, what I forgot to say is the Amalekites were a descendant of Esau. That's quite interesting. You remember the Jacob and Esau story? Yeah. Joshua was Moses' assistant. And he would eventually take over from Moses when he died. And the meaning for Joshua, anyone know the meaning for Joshua?
Save him.
Jehovah is generous. Jehovah saves. Yeah. Yeah. So, prepare for battle. So I can't do it yet. Okay, Moses. Moses takes Aaron and Hur with a stick up to the mountain top. So here's the mountain top. Sometimes we need to position ourselves in the right place for battle. So Moses was the leader, the prophet. And he was leading people out of Egypt. He raised his staff up to heaven on top of the mountain and prayed. Aaron. Who was Aaron? Which one
was that?
Aaron?
Was me.
Aaron was Moses' brother. What's the meaning of Aaron? It means lofty. Exalted. He was Moses' spokesman. Actually, here's a good one. How do you know Moses wore a wig?
because he was to do with Aaron.
Because sometimes he was seen with Aaron and sometimes not.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron. Gosh, Aaron. Aaron. Okay. Her. Actually, I struggled on to find out much more about her. So he was Moses' mate. Okay. So they're on the mountain with the stick raised high, and then these guys are ready for battle. Scene three. Fight. Blows received from each side. What's your first aid kit? It's aid of sight,
isn't it? I'm winning now. Oh, you go back.
Right, stop. Are you in a battle?
Yeah.
In the moment. Are you?
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah. What's your battle? Is it spiritual?
Yeah.
Physical? Emotional? Mental? God says in 2 Chronicles 20:15, don't be discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, it's God's. Because God's doing stuff for you, on behalf of you. Challenges and fights are actually good for us, I believe. Although we can't see it at the time, afterwards, it refines us. It makes us, it improves us. Meanwhile, this was going on. Moses was calling out to God that the battle would be successful.
Lord, be successful.
Yeah.
All right. Joshua.
When you're in the midst of the battle, do you pray? Do you raise your hands up and pray? Are you persistent in prayer? If you pray once, do you just give up if it doesn't happen? Or do you continue to carry on? When we pray, we may not see something physically here, but we don't know. Things are going on in the heavenly places when we pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Okay. Scene 4. The battle was going well when the staff was raised up. Joshua was winning. Moses' arms got tired, and then the staff lowered a bit. When it lowered, the Amalekites were winning. Holding up something for a long period of time hurts. No energy left, right, Barry? Moses, sorry. The tank is empty. Is your tank empty? Are your arms tired? Are you exhausted? Are you tired of the battle and feel like totally giving up? Matthew 11 verse 28 says, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the promise. Right. Scene 5. Moses takes a new position. So, Aaron and Hur found a rock or a chair. Moses sat down. And, one man on each side, they held his arms up with the staff that take the light out. Staff pointed to heaven. God, I'm looking to you to help. What did the staff mean again? We spoke about earlier.
Symbol.
Yeah, symbol. The power and presence of God. Nothing magical, just a symbol. Do you have people to support you in your life? People to stand with you? Come alongside you, stand with you in the battle. That's why it's important to be part of the church. Because we're here for each other. There's people in here who will stand alongside you and help you. And, you know, that's why it's good to be here. You may come in with frowning, but leave with smiling. You may come in feeling hopeless, but leave feeling hopeful. Develop friendships and support each other. That's what life's about. know. So, scene 6. Israel won and defeated the Amalekites.
Fuck you, that was.
Now, was the victory down to Joshua?
No.
Yeah. Was the victory down to Moses?
No.
No, it's God's battle. But through these guys, he achieved it. No matter if the situation looks totally impossible, like there's so many Amalekites against the Israelites, God comes through and can find a way. So if you're facing an impossible situation, I believe God can come through. May not be the right result that you want, but God knows what the result should be. You must bring the mountain and the valley together to get the victory. Okay, scene 7.
Put your arms on
there. Why? You took out my airing. Moses built an altar and he named it "The Lord is my banner." Do you make a note of God's victories in your life and remember them? How do you remember? Anyone like to answer that? How do you remember?
Diary.
A journal or something in a diary. Very good. Anyone else?
Blessings.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, very good.
Talking about it.
Sharing it with others and talking. Yeah, very good. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not. What are you like when a problem comes? Do you forget what God did in the past? Or are you able to remember and encourage you to see, actually, there will be a way through because my God is here with me? Look to the future. Has he brought you safe thus far? Say that to the person next to you. He's brought me safe thus far. Philippians 1 verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue this work until it's finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes. Isn't that an amazing promise? Bad news is today that there are problems, right? But the good news is God will help you through your problems. Life gets dry. I'm getting dry, actually. Life gets dry and people need water. Ask God to give you the living water. Do you feel God's presence and power in your daily life? If not, seek it, and he will give it freely. The battle is God's. And the victory wasn't down to Joshua or to Moses, Aaron and Hur. They played their part, but God came through. And we need to position ourselves for that to happen. Real victory is dependence on God. Do we find ourselves in a struggle with no way out? Battles are actually good for us. They make us grow. Can you say, whatever may come, the Lord is my banner? There's a psalm here, and it's, I lift my eyes to the hills. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
going back to the fighting thing, I've got a good set of DVDs that are about, actually they're for men, so you guys are more than welcome to borrow it. It's about being a warrior and fighting for God. And it says in it, everyone needs a cause to fight for. If you don't have a cause to fight for, you'll fight for the wrong one. So are you fighting for God? God's cause? Or are you fighting something else? Or are you fighting against other areas of your life? Sometimes we need to give a spiritual punch. And sometimes we need to turn the cheek. Sometimes we need to fight with humility, repentance, owning your sin, and asking for help, which is available. No matter how hard the situation is, or how far you're away, he will come. Raise your eyes from the battle towards God. Flee to our God, who is Jehovah Nissi. There is a battle going on, and it's a spiritual one. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." When the battle comes, look up and raise your arms. Sometimes it is our last step to pray. You wait till the situation gets so bad, and then you say, "Oh God, help me." Why not do that at the beginning? Why not, you know, when things are coming up? Start with it. He's there to help you. So, thank you to my trustee. I think John gets the award, the Oscar. Thank you very much. Thank you, Moses.
Okay.
Keep going, Ruth. Next one. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Is he your miracle? Okay, next slide. So, key points from this talk this morning. Hopefully it spoke something to you. Understand God's names. Take some time and have a look at God's names. I think they're pretty powerful. I mean, I started to go through them and I was a bit blown away that we have such an awesome God and all these reasons. It's really powerful. And this first one, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. What's a banner? A banner is a standard, a sign. You know where to go. Whose side are you on? Remember the victories. How are you going to remember the victories going forward? There's many victories and there's many blessings. Just listening to everyone sharing earlier, I'm blown away by just this year, right? What God's done. Find people to stand in the times of battle with you. You know, you're part of this church. Find someone to come alongside you. You know, just to be by your side. There's a friend of mine in Oxford. He meets every 2 weeks or so with two other guys. And they're together, and together in the battle, right? So they sit there, they open up to each other, they go through what's been good, what's been bad, and they're vulnerable, you know, they open themselves up to willing to be supported. Are you like that? Do you have people like that? Would you like people like that? I'd encourage you. It's powerful. You don't need to do this on your own. Eyes off the battle and on me, says God. Stop fighting everything in your own strength and look towards God. Battle wasn't won by Joshua or Moses. God won it. And there's a Psalm 9 verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Next slide. This was God's rescue plan for us. Jesus died on the cross that we could be brought back to him. And yeah, I think there are a lot of mysteries about God. And I heard this saying before. And it's like, if you run out or don't have any more mysteries about God, then you've reduced God to human size. And he's not. He's huge. It's not wrong to have mysteries about God. Through the cross, Jesus came down and died and rescued us. And then through that, we can accept him in our hearts and be reunited with God. So, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. That's not going to stay up. Right. So, actually, I've done really well for time this, huh? I've not gone over. Yes, so, what we have now is a song. And it's a song I've chosen from David Crowder called I Am. Anyone know that song? Yes, thank you. The lyrics go like this. There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. And then there's a chorus, which you can join in because it's quite repetitive. And it says, I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of a storm, I am holding on, I am. And it's quite a good twist on this song, because also I am is what God explained to Moses he was, right? And then also you can use it as a demonstration of you to God, I am holding on to you. So I encourage you, when you play this, if you're able to stand, and then as a symbolic act, if you would want to, raise your arms up to God during the song as an act to say, I recognise you, God, as my banner, and I'm holding on to you.